Good evening and welcome to the August 14th, 2018 minute of the Black Diamond, the City of Black Diamond Planning Commission. I'd like to welcome you to this meeting. At this point in time, we'll be doing the flight salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Commissioner LeConte?
Present.
Commissioner Sapp?
Present.
Commissioner Ekberg?
Here.
Commissioner Payne?
Here.
Commissioner Amber?
Arrived.
Commissioner Olson?
Present.
All right. Thank you, Commissioners. So at this time, we'll be accepting public comment not pertaining to the comp plan. Is anyone in the audience wishing to approach the Planning Commission with any testimony? If so, please approach the podium and leave your name and city for the record, please. If you are here with testimony regarding the comp plan and any changes to the comp plan, there is a sign-up sheet at the front. If you would please sign in, we'll take people in order of signing in. This would be the second call for public comment not relating to the comp plan. If anybody has any issues they'd like to bring before the Planning Commission now, please do so. Approach the podium, speak your name and city for the record, please. Hearing none, we're going to move to the next agenda item. Next, we're moving to the approval of the minutes of the July 10th, 2018 meeting. Have the commissioners had an opportunity to review those minutes? Are there any corrections, additions, or deletions that would need to be mentioned at this time?
Commissioner Olson here. On page 3, the final vote for the recommendation of the redesignation for the mixed use was a 5-1 vote. So I'd like to make a motion to edit that 5-0 that's currently written in place of what actually occurred, 5-1.
A second.
All right, it's been moved and seconded to accept the meeting minutes of the July 10th meeting with the accepted correction of the vote tally 5-1 on page 3 from Commissioner Seth. With that correction, can we have a vote? We vote that the minutes will be accepted with this correction.
Point of information, voting on that one we just did there.
Right, the correction.
Yeah.
Right. So we'll call a vote on the correction. Is there any other discussion? I don't have exact recall of that vote. Clerk Kathy, is there any recommendation that you would have? Not that I'm questioning that, but how do we move forward?
We can accept the minutes with that correction. They can vote.
All right. Great. All right. So there is a motion on the floor to accept the meeting minutes of the July 10th, 2018 commission meeting with the exception in the vote noted on page 3 of 5-1 versus 5-0. All those in favor of accepting these amended minutes say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? None. Motion carries. Thank you, commissioners, and thank you, Commissioner, for having that a good eye with that. Appreciate your oversight there.
Madam Chairman, I would like to make a motion to approve. So point of clarification, did we just vote to approve the edit and now we need to approve the minutes, or did we vote to approve the minutes with the edit?
We approved, I believe, the minutes with the edit.
Okay, thank you.
And are we all clear? We're good with that? Yes. We've just approved the edited meeting minutes from July 10th. All right. Good. At this time, I'm going to ask to see if staff has a presentation or perhaps some rules that are pertinent to the discussion of opening the public hearing on the comp plan. Ms. Kincaid?
Thank you. Can you hear?
Nope. Okay. Mine goes green.
Yours goes green. I think it's on. Okay, excellent. Thank you, Chairwoman McCain. So, and thanks, commissioners, and to the people that have come out tonight for this meeting. As you know, we have been working on our comprehensive plan update for quite a while. And I don't want to spend a lot of time talking because this is time for the public to talk, but I did want to just give a little brief overview of the process because I think that it may help maybe people that are wondering how this all works. So the comprehensive plan update, as you know, was required by the Growth Management Act. We were supposed to have ours done June 30th, 2015. We have been working on it, and in fact, the last major update was done in 2009. We had, quite a bit to go through. And in the past years that we've been working on it, we've held two open houses, an online survey, a series of 12 joint meetings with Planning Commission and council members to really try to get a good document. And tonight we're here to continue that public process with the hearing portion of this meeting. So I just want to briefly say that the comprehensive plan amendments or updates are a type of review in the Black Diamond Municipal Code. It's considered a Type 5, which is a legislative decision. The Planning Commission conducts most of the public process, makes a recommendation to City Council for the adoption. After you make your recommendation to City Council, the Council has an option of accepting what you recommend without change, they have the option to change it. They are not obligated to hold another public hearing, whereas the Planning Commission, by law, must hold a public hearing to make that recommendation. Whether or not the council decides to make any changes to what the recommended plan that you put forward and considers whether or not they need more public process, that will be done at that stage of this process for amending the comp plan. So we did, in fact, as part of holding a public hearing, you're required to post and publish the hearing notice 10 days in advance of the hearing. We published our hearing notice in the Voice of the Valley two times on July 31st and August 7th. So we have met our requirements for holding this public hearing. The changes to the comp plan, as I said, we last updated in 2009. That was the major update. This plan, draft plan that we've been working on, is pretty much a rewrite of that 2009 plan. What we've tried to do is make it, we hope, the goal was to make it so that we were protecting more of our natural resources and assets and having policies that were broader reaching in terms of parks, recreation, open space. In the update process, the Growth Management Act, the state requires that we do certain things in this update, which we have done. We went through it. They give you a checklist. We went through the checklist. And so some of the things that they required that we take care of were to update data, update, you know, maps and city boundaries, urban growth areas. They have a new component for making sure you have policies for increasing physical activity. We looked at lands for public purposes, open space, updated our data and demographics for housing, funding. We had to have a consistency statement. So we went through this checklist that was required, and we think that we have met all of those. And in addition, this new draft plan is intended to You know, the old one was you know, just had your basic natural environment, land use, housing, and transportation. This is pretty much expanded to try to increase our awareness and our policy to implement more of what we think that the citizens of Black Diamond were telling us about, wanting some policies to protect the character. So we included a chapter that's new on community character. We've created a parks, recreation, trails, and open space. So as I've said, this is a very much a different plan than the 2009 plan that's currently adopted. And we hope that it's a more comprehensive plan. That's the goal. So with that, I just wanted to also point out that you have a packet of public comments that have been received, written testimony. I don't imagine the people that wrote them will be here tonight, but I just want to make sure that you see that, and when you open the public hearing, I'll enter their names into the record.
Great. Thank you, Ms. Casey.
Oh, okay, so we're going to hear from the public tonight, and we're going to get their input. And then what do we do with that? If we hear something we like from them, do we redo this draft a little bit further and then come back again?
Yes, and in fact, you received quite a bit of public comment already, and you may want to sort of discuss that before we open the hearing, because the hearing is really a time for you to hear what people say and not to engage in that sort of discussion or deliberation. When we do close the hearing, and then you have all of this stuff to consider, if you feel that there are some of the input that was really in your mind warrants changing this document, then that's what we want to do during the deliberation. And so that you would make changes to this, and your recommendation would incorporate those things that you thought were good on the public comment that you received. I shouldn't say good, but if you feel like it's something that you want to have this plan.
Okay, and we're going to do that today.
Just a point of clarification, we have been receiving questions. We had a question circulated by Commissioner Seth regarding the community character chapter. He's going to ask those questions tonight. But as far as the information that's received tonight, Commissioner Amber, we will go ahead and we will combine our written testimony that we've already received plus the public hearing testimony. We will then make our final recommendation to the City Council based on review of all of that information, and we'll deliberate that at a different time. So tonight will be, except for clarifying the question of Commissioner Seth regarding the community character, we want to get that better understood tonight for probably all of our benefits, have a little additional discussion on that before we open the actual public hearing.
Okay. Thank you, Madam Chair. Commissioner Seth, as you know, at the last meeting, we received it's about a 50-page packet from Peter Rimboss from, I think they call themselves the Citizens Technical Action Team. And within that document, there were quite a few recommendations and suggestions and other comment, essentially, for the comprehensive plan. And after reviewing it, you know, it took me a while to get through it all, but after reviewing it, the main questions I had really had to are concerned with the Section 5, the community design and character concept. And one of the comments, if I can read the comment, it says, past city comprehensive plans emphasize maintaining rural character, as did most citizens who testified at the multiple MPD public hearings. The description above, I suppose I should read that too, is not what those citizens envisioned then or now. A mixture of clustered development areas that are integrated with large, undeveloped areas and open space does not give the city its rural character. And so
I'm going to read the section description. So section 5, the comment that's related to this is community design and character concept. Community character relates to the types of land uses and overall function, look and feel of different parts of the city. Character and design relates to key design elements, mixtures of uses, and the related activities and intensities of development. These are expressions of the relationship between the natural and built environment. The land designations in this chapter define the intended character and function of the respective area. The city's traditional, and that's in quotes, zoning approach must be implemented in a manner that achieves the intent of these small town character designations. The community has expressed a strong desire that the city preserves forested areas and open spaces, views of Mount Rainier, treasured places, which are historic and cultural places and structures, and a strong sense of community. The city will apply these fundamental principles to retain its small town character. So that's what's currently in the comprehensive plan. And then the comments are basically saying, and this is where I have a question for Ms. Kincaid, is it's saying the mixture of clustered development areas, right? So what I'm picturing is what this comment means, and I could be wrong, but this is what I think it means, is that we're going to have like large clusters of development and then big open space and then possibly another large cluster of development down the road. And what they're saying is that's not necessarily the intent of what the citizens had asked for in previous meetings. And so I'm just wondering if you could give us maybe your interpretation of what that community character means from the city's point of view.
Oh, sure, and thank you for that, Commissioner Seth. So what that, and perhaps there's better language that we can clarify, but what that is really speaking to is that this city is not a grid. It's not ever going to be a grid. And how it has developed, like many cities sort of that have been built around the natural resource industry, is that you have enclaves or pockets of development, and then the area either that the geology or topography or something, or even the network for transportation doesn't allow for this gridded pattern of development. So what that is saying is that the character of what we have on the ground right now is exactly that. You've got little enclaves or pockets of neighborhoods that are separated by these open space areas, and that our intent is to continue that existing development pattern to retain the character that is there now. That was the intent of that.
Okay, So as you mentioned, maybe clarifying the language a little too, because in what he's saying is a mixture of clustered development areas. And so I think that can infer that it's like higher density than maybe what the city actually intends. And so I'm not sure exactly how to fix that language, but maybe it's something we need to kind of question a little more and make sure that we understand that we're not talking about certain areas that are going to have high-rise development, right? You know, or, you know, even six- or seven-story development,
right?
And then, you know, open fields, and then you see another
right.
cluster of
right.
large buildings and things like that. And so,
and I think the idea is really like, well, you're going to have probably, you know, these single-family residential but you're going to also make room in these development areas that are mixed and clustered. You know, you're going to maybe have a little daycare, the services that the people need to live there, a little five and dime store sort of idea, but not this urban vision that you're getting, and apparently Mr. Rimbaud felt that he read into that statement. So
okay.
I think we need to perhaps see what we can do with that.
Yeah, so I my suggestion would be to just kind of rephrase it or reword it in a way so that it kind of matches more with what you're describing tonight.
Sure.
Because I too kind of get the feeling that's how it reads. The comprehensive plan reads that way when that's really not the intent, I think.
And so, absolutely.
And then I had one other comment, and that was on Land use policy 15, policy LU15, it says use building design, zoning regulations, and design standards to promote the development of buildings of a character and scale appropriate to the site and foster building variety while providing for designs that reflect the distinctive local character, historical character, and natural features. Mm-hmm. And so his comment, it says, incentives to existing businesses should be provided to enhance appearance of their properties using a common citywide design theme. Rural by design has been used by the city's promotional materials, but the use of rural by design theme and developmental regulations to accomplish city character and appearance is less clear. And so, and I would agree with that. I think what he's trying to say is that we're kind of saying that this should happen, but we're not possibly updating the regulations to make sure that they also match. And I know that that could possibly happen at a later time, but that's something that I think I would like to see. I'm not sure about the rest of the commissioners, but speaking for myself, I think I would like to see that the city code eventually is updated to make sure that it matches the intent of the comp plan.
That's exactly right, and that is, and many of Mr. Rimbos and the TAT's comments, I felt, were speaking to about that, the regulatory changes that need to take place to actually implement this policy document.
Yeah, and I would agree with that. And along with this, you know, there were some spelling and grammar kind of, you know, things. And so I would hope that I haven't had a chance to see if we've updated all of that to make sure we've captured, especially those kind of Scrivener error kind of things.
Right.
But
We're in pretty good shape. I had someone that looked through it very closely, and we'll do it again.
Sure. but it's a large document.
Yes,
it takes a lot of eyes looking on it, and I get that. My final comment, I guess, also kind of pertains to what Commissioner Amber was saying, is as far as, like, you know, what the next steps and process will be. We did tonight receive another packet of approximately 30 or 40 pages of comments, and so I clearly haven't had time to review any of it, and so I just want to make sure that that we are given that time to review the written comments as long as and hear the public comment that we hear tonight before we make a recommendation to council. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Seth. Is there any other commissioners that have any questions regarding anything, any discussion issues before we start and open the public hearing?
Commissioner Amber, well, I've got a number of things I noticed on this. I don't know when you want us to go over that.
Well, it is up to how you want to handle this. You could do it now, or you could just throw that into the very, you know, as you deliberate, the things that you see that you want to discuss along with the public input. It's really it depends how you all want to do that as a commission.
Commissioner Olson, I think it might be beneficial maybe to get the public comments in first.
Right, and the normal protocol would be for us to, you know, we had an email circulation of the question by Commissioner Seth, so it was good to get an answer to that question here. But all new deliberations we'll do after the public has had a chance to chime in, and then we will certainly pay highest attention to all those, Commissioner Amber, before we make our recommendation to the council. Okay, any other clarifying points from any commissioners that need to be covered? Okay. So at this time, I'd like to declare the opening of the public meeting. It is now, Clerk Kathy, what time is this?
It is 6:24.
All right, 6:24 p.m. on August 14, 2018, regarding the update to the City of Black Diamond's Comprehensive Plan. Anyone who would like to...
And if I might read the names into the record that submitted their written testimony before the bill, right?
Do you want me to call for additional sign-ups to this list before you start? Is there anyone that has not signed up on this list that would like to be considered as part of the public comment tonight? Sir? Can we just have you address that on the list, please?
Do you want something on the
I would just like to say for the record, I appreciate the extra attendance. The work that has been performed by the Planning Commission up until this point in relationship to the preliminary comp plan discussions and update represents about probably at a minimum 50 hours of volunteer commissioner time. I want to thank you all, the commissioners, for participating, for hanging in there, for helping us get to this point. I think it's pretty exciting. We will be limited to 3 minutes for any public testimony. I will call your name after we accept the written testimony into the record, and you can just approach the podium and state your name and city for the record, please. So, Ms. Kincaid?
Yes, thank you. We received written testimony for this public hearing from a Mike Bergang, a Helen Jacobson, Deanna Ostgaard, Michael Fettig, Angela Fettig, Peter Rimbos, and William Bryant.
All right, thank you. And copies of that written testimony are on the front table.
Yes.
So anyone who is interested would like to pick up a copy of that testimony who isn't able to get that update on the website, please feel free to take the copies that we have prepared here ahead of time tonight. So with this open public hearing and understanding the time and the purpose, I'd like to invite Joe McDonald to approach the podium and address the Planning Commission.
Good evening, commissioners. My name is Joe McDonald. I own a property and reside as of November of last year, 24306 Roberts Drive in Black Diamond. That property was formerly Mama Passarelli's Dinner House. I have it incorporated with the state of Washington under an entity called the Black Diamond Public House, LLC. And I plan to open a restaurant and bar at some point in Q2 of next year. The reason for me approaching you this evening is regarding the property zoning, which is currently zoned NC, or neighborhood commercial. I would like the Planning Commission to consider a rezone of my property to either CC, community commercial, or MC, mixed commercial use. The reason for the rezone request would be for me to reformulate my ongoing business plan with the intent to perhaps add between 4 and 8 bed and breakfast style units onto the current property. And that property is just over a full acre in totality. It's 1.04 acres. And I'm sure most of you are familiar, at least somewhat, with the property. A lot of it is unused, namely parking surface. In my opinion, there's a current need for a B&B type property within Black Diamond, if only by virtue of the many friends who have come to visit me and the challenges in finding a place for them to stay anywhere near town. I only see that need or that gap worsening as our permanent residents in Black Diamond increase by virtue of 10 Trails development and the growth that is arguably going to follow that development by way of folks that need a place within Black Diamond to hang their hat who are not current residents. I think the property, particularly given its proximity to downtown, the bakery and deli, the restaurant, the bakery separate from the deli, the museum, and all the things that I'm sure that are come along with all the exciting growth down the block from the property within the construct of the master development, there will be a need for housing. My plan is to have a separate structure that will be nowhere near in size as what I have and live in today. I do live permanently above the restaurant, as did Ginger and Harvey before me. And while it's still preliminary, I'd look to have somewhere between 4 and 8 B&B type units in a separate structure towards the rear of the property. So modest, quaint, but something that I think there's an immediate need for today and would be definitely that need would not go away anytime in the near future. There is some lodging, but it's a hike. It's 405 and Maple Valley Drive, or Maple Valley Highway. Linda's by the lake, all the way over by Lake Wilderness, and I think a couple little B&Bs sprinkled here and there that are often very hard to get. I appreciate your consideration, and my ask is to partner with you all and work on a plan that would deem feasible and possible for us to consider moving forward. That's all. Thank you very much. I appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Next on the sheet is Gary Davis. Mr. Davis.
Good evening, and thank you, commissioners, for this opportunity to speak. My main comments is I still feel that the comprehensive plan has not adequately addressed transportation infrastructure issues, capacity issues. Even with the first stage of the 10 trails development, the amount of increase in population, increase in traffic is going to cause problems that the people who have lived here for quite a while aren't quite ready to accept that kind of volume, and they're going to be surprised by it, I'm afraid. That also, who's going to be responsible for paying for this? We're not going to be able to get money from the state. We might get a grant here and there, but the amount of infrastructure improvement, if they go ahead with what they say they want to do, the thousands of houses, it's just not going to happen. There's too many other demands on states' funds. So whatever transportation infrastructure that's needed is going to have to be provided by the growth paying for growth. And if it's not clear in the way the ordinances are run and the way this process is managed, I'm afraid that the developer is not going to be held accountable for what they're developing and what they're going to be bringing ultimately to this area in terms of traffic issues. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Kristen Bryant.
Before I begin, I wanted to ask, because in public hearings in the past, separate from just regular public comment, the city has allowed more time. I believe it's up to 5 minutes, and of course there's not a law the commission could make an exception. I do think I'll go over 3 minutes, so I would request
for the purposes of the benefit, the breadth of the discussion of the items at hand, we'll go ahead and set that, Kathy, to 5 minutes for Ms. Bryant and the remainder of the people here to give their testimony. Thank you.
Thank you. Good evening, commissioners. My name is Kristen Bryant, and I reside in Bellevue and grew up in the city of Black Diamond. I'm going to provide some comments that I prepared. Before I go into them in detail, I want to say that I realized not all that long ago, earlier today, that some of my comments that I had drafted were based on earlier versions of the chapters that were posted. And there were some changes, probably minor, but some of my comments didn't quite match up to exactly text that I had seen in the prior chapters that were posted. Since this draft got posted on August 7th, so I was using some of the older things, and I didn't totally reconcile them, so I will provide a copy of my comments that I've written, but they've got kind of some writing on top of them now, and I could clean them up certainly for you. So I'll say, I'd like to begin by saying the comprehensive plan is important to everyone in the Black Diamond community and everyone in King County. This city hasn't done a comp plan since before the Oak Point Development Agreement was applied for in 2009 or 2010. So this plan is extremely important. Black Diamond is a small city very far to the south and east of King County. And there's not a one-size-fits-all approach for all cities in the county. I noticed recently that someone in Black Diamond said that they moved out here looking for more trees and more peace and quiet, and that's what I also love about Black Diamond. I went to the hearings on the Oak Point development starting in the year 2010. People opposed such a large development, and they did so again in 2011. I'm referring to the 6,000 units of development that Oak Point has planned, kind of assuming that we all know that. The city council at the time said they had no choice under existing regulations to approve the developments. Over and over, people voiced dismay at what would be lost by Black Diamond growing so much so fast. Traffic and the environment were and are huge concerns. Let's step back for a moment and talk about regional planning and how Black Diamond fits with the region. We all pay for regional planning through the Puget Sound Regional Council. This body is governed by representatives from King, Pierce, Snohomish, and Kitsap counties and the cities in them. Through this, we pay for experts, studies, and planning to look at how our region can best plan for our future. You've probably seen the Vision 2040 document created by PSRC. It establishes regional growth centers to target growth in ways that keep taxes lower and protect more of our natural areas. The growth centers are near existing transportation and transit hubs. The other part of the planning we paid for is that cities further away from places like Seattle remain smaller. Cities on the edge of the urban growth boundary provide a transition down to less populated rural areas. As an example, to show that it can be done differently than what Black Diamond's draft comp plan anticipates. The eastern edge of the city of Newcastle has large parcels zoned for forestry in the city limit, and next to that, they have large parcels zoned at just one house per acre. King County's growth targets, as you know, are for just 1,900 homes in Black Diamond by 2031. Planning for more than that puts pressure on existing taxpayers to fund infrastructure for developers. It is not growth paying for growth. As our comp plan demographic section shows, current income levels and employment in Black Diamond is pretty good. Black Diamond has a lot of things going for it already that rampant growth could make worse and not better. Speaking specifically on a few topics, I want to address the environment. Black Diamond has a lot of wildlife and is surrounded by rural area on three sides. Black Diamond's comp plan can view the city's natural surroundings as an asset and do even more to protect them. It's worth protecting the beautiful natural environment here, the wildlife, the fish, and the trees. Black Diamond shouldn't become a big city covered with pavement. But the Chapter 4 on natural areas does not have strict enough policies to protect more natural space beyond the minimum what is already that is already required by state law.
Ms. Bryant, you're approaching 5 minutes.
The plan is set to continue what we have seen over the past several years. Clear cuts are encouraged, and wetlands and streams are not being improved or protected beyond the minimum. Traffic is also a huge issue. Look at the rural county roads and rural parts of Highway 169. The county is not in a position to expand all the roads to Black Diamond, and neither are the state taxpayers. The chapter on traffic, I'm concerned, is written in a way that makes taxpayers subsidize roads rather than lay the groundwork for those proposing developments to ensure that their plans include paying for roads and traffic improvements and that traffic keeps moving at the same speed.
Madam Chair, I move to allow Ms. Bryant an additional 2 minutes to finish her comments.
Or I'd be happy to go again after everyone else has a chance, whichever way you want to do it.
If you wouldn't mind.
I withdraw my motion.
Thank you. I know people have been waiting.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Bryant. Happy to have you Michael Fettig, please.
Thank you, Commissioners. My name is Mike Fettig. I live in the Morgan Creek neighborhood, 25423 Kanasket Drive. My comments about the plan refer to schools in the comprehensive plan. My wife also submitted an email also, although we did find that the email address was wrong to the submittal. It was the Black Diamond WA was spelled wrong on the notice on the email. When I tried to send it, it came back. But
Ms. Kahan, do you have any knowledge of that? Look at the notice.
Hmm. Yeah, it was Black Diamond was spelled wrong on the tail end of the email. But once it came back, I saw that it was misspelled. But I don't know if anyone else had a problem with that. But anyways. My wife and I live in Morgan Creek with our two young daughters. At this time, our daughters do not attend school in Black Diamond or Enumclaw School District due to our work schedules and child care that fits our needs. We hope in the future that our daughters will attend their home schools and connect with friends in our neighborhood. We are concerned with the future of education if city allows too many houses without school planning. So far, not enough has been done. The Oak Point developments are projected to need 7 new schools, but development has only a small obligation to pay for the schools. 90% of the future expenses will need to be voted on by Enumclaw School District residents, meaning existing families, will be asked to pay thousands of dollars each for schools. Instead, growth should pay for growth. Other districts have had similar problems. Developers add new houses and schools become packed. Students are put in overcrowded classrooms. Quality of instruction suffers, and parents worry for their children's best interests. Other districts have also encountered the failure of school bonds and levies. We can't count on school bonds to cover the entire cost to build new schools. Voters without children or with grown children don't vote for tax increases for schools because they don't feel they don't get anything for their money. I've seen this exact scenario in the district I work in. Failed bonds to build a new high school led to overcrowded high schools for many years. By the time the bond was approved, this new school was built, and the school opened nearly at capacity. My wife and I both teach in a neighboring district. Last year, in the 2017-2018 school year, my wife had 28 first graders in her classroom. I teach fifth grade and finished last year with 41 students in my classroom. 41 students. Imagine your 10-year-old packed in a classroom with 40 other students. Sadly, I couldn't give the students the one-on-one instruction to fit their individual needs, and my school had no room to expand. The only option was to keep adding students, which caused resentment between parents and school administration. This has a negative impact on the experience of children, parents, and teachers. Families are drawn to school districts because of their reputation as good schools. Families also avoid districts that are known for overcrowding and a little connection in the community. On page 10 of the comprehension plan, it states, Black Diamond is expected to grow rapidly and will need robust guidance to maintain its quality of life. Overcrowded schools, increased taxes, and failed school bonds don't seem like the quality of life we're looking for in Black Diamond. As Black Diamond plans for the future, we can prevent school overcrowding issues. Our children are worth it. The comprehensive plan should set standards for schools. How much space does each class or student need? At what point should we begin building the schools for kids instead of waiting for our current schools to be packed? We should find studies as well as have expert consultants review this and provide input to the city if necessary. If we update our comprehensive plan, we should work with the school district to set the minimum levels of service. The city of Black Diamond should not be forced to permit thousands more houses if our schools reach overcrowding and there's not enough school space. The future of Black Diamond faces, we don't make changes now, but it doesn't have to be this way. Development should pay for itself. Thank you.
Madam Chair, may I ask a clarifying question for
not
to you, but I'm sorry, to Ms. Kincaid. Do we have a... Does the Enumclaw School District, do they, does the City of Black Diamond collect impact fees for residential or multifamily?
No, we do not. City of Black Diamond does not have a school impact fee ordinance.
Do you know if other areas that the Enum Claus School District is in, do they collect impact fees from those other districts?
I don't know.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
All right. Next on the list, Jama Thompson.
Hi, Donna Thompson. I noticed that there's not very many pictures in this, but somehow I ended up being in the middle of the one picture that there is pictures in of recognizable people on page 20. It was at a public hearing, so it's a public picture. I don't love the picture. And if there could be, if it could be replaced with a picture maybe of people looking at a plan or something that's more engaging, and you can see, Dave, you're in it with me. So you look at it and you decide.
Would you like a hat?
but you look so engaged all
the time. Okay,
it's
yeah.
It's a beautiful picture, Jonna.
What?
It's a beautiful picture.
Okay, well, if Dave likes it, we'll just leave it. I have a question regarding, I don't know if you can ask questions, but on the maps that are repeatedly in here, there's these annexation places. And I just don't understand, and if you can't answer the question, please tell me how to get the answers. I don't understand about these annexation. There's two different places. You know what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. So how does that go about? Or is that just like an idea? Are those, do those communities, have those communities requested to be annexed? What is the cost involved with that? What is the, and I haven't read the whole document, so maybe it covers more on that, but I didn't see at a glance.
Ms. Kincaid, do you mind answering the question?
I don't, and also we could meet after the meeting.
Okay.
I could explain it to you. I mean, it's those potential annexation areas are what other places understand as urban growth areas. In King County, the counties and cities created these potential annexation areas through their county-wide regional planning efforts. So they've been established for a really long time. There were other areas that Black Diamond did indeed annex, and we're just left with those two areas that the city is probably not real interested in annexing. And but we haven't really entertained the idea of giving them back, or if that's even possible, but that's what they are.
So it's more like those, they're just sitting there.
Their plate, suppose the intent on the urban growth theory or the future annexation area was that those would be areas where, when Black Diamond built out at urban levels, that's where you would begin, you would annex those, and the city would grow that direction. And that was, those are discussions that were had, like I said, years ago when the open space agreement was done, the Baduga was done, all that. Those are the remaining areas that were designated for future growth at that time.
Okay. Okay. So there's no, and there's no further discussion in this document about action to be taken regarding.
Well, our policies are there about how to treat them.
Okay.
You may want to. I can talk to you later.
Okay, we can talk more about that. I'm just curious. It doesn't affect me because I'm just like one road over. But
we,
it is
could Dave. We could expand that to include you.
Include
we could trade my neighborhood for yours.
There's pros and cons, though, you know, unincorporated King County. I also just wanted to mention about the schools. Even before the master plan development was approved in 2010, the school district, the city, and the developer worked very hard to come up with a document that's called a tri-party agreement. And it might be beneficial to attach that agreement to this so that there was more substance behind the school section so that you all knew what that agreement was. And I don't know if there's reason to re-look at that agreement. It certainly does concern me a lot that there's not a school impact fee for these new houses that are coming in. What the heck? Every one of those houses should be paying an impact fee. So I don't understand that, and I thought that that was part of the agreement. of that agreement. And then my final comment is that I'm on the board for the Lake Sawyer Park Foundation, and pertaining the Parks and Rec part of this, I would love to have the Parks Foundation board just have an opportunity to make sure that they read the parks part and if, and give them an opportunity to weigh in. So I'm curious if this is the close of public comments, if there's going to be any extension for more people to have input, or what your timing is on this.
Well, at a minimum, we will be receiving asking for additional written comment between now and next week. Perhaps based on how tonight goes, we may or may not want to continue this, that this decision hasn't been made yet, but we will be accepting written testimony between now and perhaps a week from now based on agreement with the other commissioners. That's our plan.
Okay, so it's a pretty short window. It's a pretty short window. So, okay, all right. I just need to know, you know, like how quickly I need to encourage them to look at this and get on it.
Wouldn't
okay.
they get that before the next meeting?
Well, if it's all the so to continue to the public hearing in the written form, we need to have a cutoff date for when they can, you know, supply their written testimony to be considered for our final deliberations.
Okay, yeah, okay. Thank you.
There would be a deadline. Thank you. Thank
so you. Crack the whip, Jonna.
I will get right on it.
All right, next on the list, Allison Osher.
Hi, my name is Allison Oster. I live in Seattle, and I run a small business where I work through a lot of South King County, including Black Diamond. And I drove all the way from Seattle today. That's just to show how important I think this conference plan is.
Excuse me, Ms. Osher, could you stand up the microphone, please?
Sorry.
This meeting is being recorded.
Okay. Should I start again?
I think you're fine.
Okay. Well, I wanted to start with something I read in the draft for comprehensive plan. Quote, the city has a unique development pattern consisting of single pockets of single-family residential areas and small commercial uses located in three general areas, similar to small European or rural East Coast villages. Such pattern differs from traditional West Coast small towns, which developed around a central commercial core with a grid street pattern. What strikes me is that with 6,000 new homes and 1 million square feet of commercial space, achieving and maintaining the above-described pattern in the plan will be impossible. Another thing regarding the mega development is something I just read recently, a few weeks ago, from the Black Diamond Now blog, referring to the water quality in Lake Sawyer, where I've been swimming several times this summer, and I really enjoyed it. It's referencing a chart. The above chart shows water temperatures measured 1 meter below the surface dating back to 1993. As you can see, the trend is up. This does not bode well for water quality and local fisheries. And then it goes on and on about the details and how this is hurting fish. And I was going to read that. I didn't know I had limited time. So one thing I wonder is, how am I going to swim in Lake Sawyer when it's polluted from 20 years of construction dust? I'm concerned about that. Another thing that I hope we can all agree on is that global climate change is real, and the disturbing information about the rise in water temperatures in Lake Sawyer could be applied to most of Puget Sound and, unfortunately, many other waterways. And the slogan that I hear everywhere these days is think globally, act locally. So I would say that by preserving trees and natural spaces in Black Diamond rather than flattening everything with more concrete and bringing too many homes, businesses, and cars that require more fossil fuels to heat, cool, and run, Black Diamond could protect its local treasures, such as Lake Sawyer, as well as make a highly significant contribution to the climate in our region and set an example for the entire world. And I think this is also something that should be reflected in the comprehensive plan. I'm not suggesting no growth. I'm suggesting smart growth. And I think Jonna made a good point that if there's no fees currently even considered in the new homes to pay for schools, that shows that this plan was not very well made out. It seems like the developer gets all the profit, and the city and the county pay most of the costs.
You have 30 seconds, please.
Did I get 3 minutes or five?
Five.
Okay. And I'm happy to continue after, like Christian will as well. This is something that needs to be made up for in the comprehensive plan, since the original plan was lacking in these important details. I think it would be very beneficial for Black Diamond to attempt in its comprehensive plan to stand out as an ecotourism beacon a smaller, greener, better planned, vibrant city rather than a brain ground, overdeveloped eyesore like many of its neighbors in South King County have become. So again, I'm not opposed to growth. I'm in favor of smart growth, and 6,000 new homes is not smart. I think I got the bulk in, but thank you. I appreciate that.
Thank you very much. Phil Bryant.
My name is Bill Bryant, and I live at 25100 Roberts Drive for over 50 years, and it's right in the middle of town almost. There's all the trees you see around my place. If you've ever seen my place, I planted everything. And if I didn't do that, you wouldn't have any green down there. You'd have brush. But anyway, what I'm really interested in is in reviewing the packet for the zoning issues that you have. It's very hard to read. Is my property going to get rezoned? Is my neighbor's property going to get rezoned? What? I mean, you need something to show the people, you know, what you're doing with the property. Like I wrote here, it's the maps with proposed rezoning, it is impossible to give feedback to Planning Commission based on those maps. I can't. I don't understand them. The other things that I would like that I think are very important is what areas are going to remain rural? I mean, is my place going to remain rural? I live on 5 acres, and my brother next door, he's got 50 acres. Okay? It's, right now it's rural because we don't plan on doing anything with it. And Kristen is probably going to inherit my place, and that's why she's working so hard on this. Because it's just like going to the lake someplace, because you can camp out in my yard, you can do anything, okay? I'm not saying everybody's house should be like that, but we don't need a concrete slab over everything. Say, this annexation that you plan on doing of these areas, how much do these people have to say if they're going to get annexed into Black Diamond? And when are you going to do that? And do they have a choice? How large is our new school? I think it's under 200 students more than it will take than what it did before. And I went to school here in Black Diamond. How is 200 students, or I don't know, 500 students, how are you going to educate them with 2,000 or 3,000 more houses? You can't do it. I think things are just being jumped over and not looked at. And who's going to pay for these schools? You know, my taxes are great in this town. I mean, I could live in Renton and pay the same taxes for what I pay here. And I don't mind paying them, but we got to have something for the people that are here. And if you don't give some rural to this area thought, in your plan, you're just going to be overrun down the road with people, and what are you going to do with them? That's all I have to say. If I have any more time, you can give it to my daughter Chris at the end.
All right, thank you, Mr. Okay. Bryant. So we're at the end of our original sign-up sheet. Kristen Bryant, would you like to approach the podium and add more to your comment? And we apologize that the timing mechanism for the meeting is not working this evening, so I appreciate everyone's patience with that.
Happens. I'm going to refer to this in a moment, so it's not my comment, but it's a reference for you, so I'll give you a chance to get that.
Except I didn't
So to continue, I'm Kristen Bryant, and I live in Bellevue, and I grew up in Black Diamond. A couple of more things that are important for the commission to consider. The long term. The discussion on this comprehensive plan should include what happens after the next 6 to 8 years. I know you've talked about it. You know, you really need to look forward 20 years and more. The city may look very different with some of the Oak Point development built out, but not all of it in 6 to 8 years. The developer will then have expired development agreements and will likely reapply. At that time, will the city want the right to reevaluate the development rules and regulations after seeing what has happened? The comp plan that you're working on now can be used to scope additional studies. What studies do you want to have done over the next 8 years to plan for the future? Over the next few years, do you want to address some of the issues being brought up tonight and by other people as through studies by technical experts? You may know the answers to some things now, and for some you may want to amend the plan to require a study by the city so that the city can then amend its regulations. The Planning Commission can also think carefully about how to address some other issues that have already come up with development. This is just one example. There's a huge amount of clearing in the Ten Trails development, with most of the trees being cut down more than 5 years ago, but the first house only being sold this year. The city can look at its clearing and grading and phasing standards. Why are 100 acres cleared at once and sitting there for years? Why do new residents have to live in a construction zone? Why not allow only 10 acres of clearing at a time, then build those houses, developers, before you move on? The policies in the comp plan can provide a basis for doing this. There is also no reason to plan for 6,000 units of housing in the very near future because Oak Point's own estimates don't support it. Oak Point has said every year since 2011 that they plan to sell several hundred homes the next year, but they have not. I'm including a page from the work by the Transpo Group, which is a consultant paid by Oak Point to do work on the Highway 169 roundabouts that are being talked about, planned. What I tried to put in the red is Oak Point's own estimate, the developer's own estimate, that they could add 250 houses each year. With their development agreements expiring in 2026, they won't build out anywhere near close to the entire amount of housing from their 2011 agreements. But on page 31 of this draft plan, it says that the PSRC forecast is being used because it assumes higher population housing and employment levels. That puts more pressure on existing taxpayers to pay for infrastructure. It's not growth paying for growth. I'd also like to address the Growth Management Act. I've heard several people suggest that the urban growth boundary dictates that Black Diamond accept massive amounts of growth. The actual details of the policies do not say this, though. King County set a growth target of only 1,900 units of housing for Black Diamond by the year 2031. I've spoken to a King County demographer about this and asked about the difference between PSRC's regional growth centers and designated small cities like Black Diamond. He confirmed that it would not be a bad thing for the county and the region if a place like Black Diamond had no more growth or even less than its target, because accommodating infrastructure all the way out to Black Diamond is expensive for the county and the state. It's worth considering that Black Diamond's a different model, and a lot of people, I think, in Black Diamond are, you know, as we've said, concerned about a lot of growth and the problems with traffic and things like that. I think that I did have one more thing I didn't get to include on traffic. The chapter on traffic is written in a way that makes taxpayers subsidize roads. Rather than lay the groundwork for those proposing developments to ensure that their plans include paying for roads and traffic improvements to keep traffic moving at the same speed. With a lot of new residents likely in the already permitted Oak Point development area, and Seattle being the most common city of employment for existing residents, it's essential that commute times do not increase. So. Thank you for considering those comments. I think that what I said about traffic and being asked to subsidize it could go ahead for schools as well. And like I said, I'll send on a copy of this. It's kind of out of order right now, but thank you for your time.
Excuse me, Kristen. I just want a point of clarification before we accept this in public record. The resource that you referenced here, can you repeat that for me, please?
Yeah. So I kind of try to make it quicker due to the time limit. This is a document produced by the Transpo Group, and they are a consultant employed by the developer Oak Point. It's was created with regard to their planning for the roundabouts on Highway 169. They've submitted it to the Washington State Department of Transportation as a way of letting them know what they're planning for.
So.
It's December 2017. I could get the exact title and the full document to anyone who wants it.
Do you have an email address for them, please?
For
Transpo Group?
I don't. Oh. I got it from WashDOT, from the State Department of Transportation.
All right. But accepting a partial document like this is just always good practice to know where this document comes from, so the commission can know whether to weigh its information or not. I appreciate that information.
All right, yes, it was in a way to try to not hand you a 60-page technical document, but I apologize for not labeling the top with the official title and date.
Thank you very much. All right, appreciate the public testimony that we've heard to this point. So, commissioners, we have an opportunity to continue the hearing to give the public more input. I would like a roll call of who could be available if this meeting were continued to next week until August 21st. Who could be in attendance? Commissioner Olson, could you attend that meeting at 6 p.m.? That's on August 21st.
Circle back to me here.
Pardon?
Circle back to me. I'll check my calendar.
Oh, okay, great. Commissioner Amber?
I've got nothing but time. I could be here.
Thank you. Commissioner LaConte, is that possible for, if we continue this hearing, that we could do so on August 21st, which is next Tuesday at 6 p.m.? Would you be available for that?
At this time, I think so.
Commissioner Seth, would you be available?
I am not available. I will be out of state next week.
All right. And Commissioner Eckert?
Yeah, that's fine.
So we would, Commissioner Olson,
yes.
Would be available?
Yes.
All right. So that does represent a quorum that we could meet. We will reconvene. We'll leave this public hearing open. The public comment is crucial at this point in time and critical. Again, the only purpose of us reviewing this information and deliberating as planning commissioners is to make a recommendation to the city council. We want to certainly be aware of our time frame. We are late with this document in the first place, but we do feel it's important to give the public extra time. So with that said, we will continue this hearing until 8/21/2018 at 6 p.m., and the record will be open for testimony, written via email, et cetera, until that time.
Madam Chair, do we need to make a motion to that effect?
I was just going to ask. Yes. Yeah. May I have a tip? Could Commissioner make a motion to the continuance approval?
So I move that we continue, that we leave the hearing open for written testimony only until August 21st at 6 p.m.
Seconded.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? All right, motion carries. We will continue this public hearing, so this meeting will not be closed this evening, and we welcome the public's input on this very important issue. All right, so we will continue with our the regular agenda items at this point in time. We would like to hear from the public. We're asked for public comment on any other issue not related to the comp plan. If anyone has any public comment, please approach the podium and cite your name and city for the record. Mr. Davis.
Okay. Two things. Gary Davis, Black Diamond, thank you for the opportunity to speak. Maybe I misheard, but it sounded like when you continued the meeting and testimony, you said written testimony only. Was that your intention? But that's what I heard.
That is the intention.
Well, written testimony will be received this week, and we'll also have public comment.
Well, I mean, the way you started this, it was as though you wanted to have people at the meetings.
Oh, excuse me. Clerk, could you read the motion, please? Unless there's some clarification.
Yes, he did say for written testimony only on August 21st.
No, that's not the end. That is not the intent. The intent was to receive written testimony until August 21st at 6 p.m.
Okay.
And then the hearing will be closed. That's the intent of the motion.
So what we will do.
You're still going to have the public hearing as well.
We're going to we'll have regular
public. Like we're doing tonight.
Yes. Okay. Audience comment. Yes.
We'll modify the motion for the record.
I will modify my motion to be that the public hearing will remain open to receive written testimony until August 21st at 6 p.m. Then the public hearing portion of tonight's meeting will be closed.
Seconded.
What that means is that at the regular meeting, then we can accept regular audience comment just like any other meeting.
Thank you. Okay.
All right. So
we need to hold.
Hold on a second. So, Kevin, could you restate the corrected motion?
He's going to modify the motion to have the public hearing remain open to receive testimony until August 21st. Is that correct? And it was seconded by Commissioner Olson.
Until 6 p.m.
Until 6 p.m. Okay, perfect.
All right, but I think that there's still a bit of confusion. What I would, and let's just talk this out, Commissioner Sess. So I think we want to recognize both that we're accepting written testimony between now and next week's meeting.
For this public hearing.
For this public hearing, and then we will continue and accept more live public hearing input at that meeting at 6 p.m. on 8/21.
Yeah, just a point of clarification. The comments at the next meeting are not public hearing comments. They're just regular audience comments from the regular meeting. Because we have to close the hearing. We can't leave the hearing open continuously, like forever. We have to close the hearing in order for us to finish the acceptance of comments and then to deliberate.
And we won't do that until the meeting, after the meeting on 8/21.
Okay.
So is that clear? Is everybody clear on that?
I understand, Commissioner Olson. So I understand I feel like we have to close this meeting, otherwise we can't keep a hearing open because there's
technically we can keep the hearing open until a set point in time, but we do have to close the hearing.
And you have to say what that set point in time is. So
Right. Really
I think the question is whether or not you want to close it
at 6 or at some other time.
At some other time. I mean, do you want to leave it open and close it after you receive public testimony on August 21st?
Do we want to close the comments, is the question.
You want to close the hearing on
before
the meeting starts or sometime during that August 21st
The conclusion of that meeting.
Yes.
That would be,
okay, so I will modify my motion again to say that the public hearing will remain open to receive written comments until the meeting begins, and then we will receive testimony until the conclusion of the meeting on August 21st, 2018.
All right. So there's a motion on the floor.
Seconded.
Seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Okay. Motion carries. So thank you very much, commissioners.
If I could, if I could speak to that again, I would just like to clarify that the intent is we can't leave the building open and allow people to submit public testimony until August 21st. So the point is to receive written comment until that time the meeting starts and then receive testimony again at the next meeting.
Correct. Is everyone clear? Is everyone clear? Commissioners clear? Public clear?
I'm clear.
Thank you for that point.
Okay, and I'm not going to bring up anything else, and please continue. I got to run to the room.
Thank you for your patience.
public comment. Anyone else that would like to approach the podium with public comment not related to the public hearing on the comp plan? Hearing none, I would like to entertain a motion for the adjournment of this meeting.
I'll make a motion to adjourn the meeting.
Second.
All right, it's been moved and seconded to adjourn this meeting of the Black Diamond Planning Commission for August 14th, 2018. Thank you, Commissioners. Thank you.